You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
Today we're going to be talking about never fighting alone, and we're in this series about fighting. The Bible says this, the Bible compares your Christian life or your life in general to a fight. Matter of fact, Paul says that it's important for you to understand that we don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against powers and principalities. We fight against the spiritual world, not against each other. We're always fighting, though. Life is a fight. I said last week, if anything is worth having, it's worth fighting for. It's important for you to understand that. We cannot sit through life and expect everything to come to us. At some point, you got to go out and get what it is that you want.
That's right.
You can't just sit around. And so today, we're going to be talking about fighting, but I think there's a part of fighting that sometimes we miss. We like to be the Lone Ranger, right? We like to think, I've got to do this myself. Any men in the house, you got that mentality? Okay. Any men in the house liars? Yes, all of us. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Right? How many of you fellas, if you're like me, it's time to do some yard work, which I hate yard work. I wish I could have a yard full of gravel. Even then, I'd have to go out and like smooth it out every so often. So I wish I had a yard full of concrete. That's what I wish I had. Painted green. That'd be excellent. Let's think about that. But here's the thing. When it comes to yard work, I hate yard work. I hate cutting grass. I hate trimming hedges. I especially hate weed eating. Part of the reason I hate weed eating because I can't get the weed eater to crank ever. I would rather just go buy cheap weed eaters and just have those crank one time, use it, and then throw it away. That's what I need to start doing. I need to think about that. Disposable weed eaters, that's what we need. Someone invent that. Give me credit. All right, so I hate yard work, but every time it's time to do yard work, my wife comes up to me and she goes, do you want me to go cut the grass? I'm like, oh, heck no. You know, you're not going to cut the grass. That's my job. That's man's job. I got to do it. She's like, but you hate doing it. I said, I know, but there is just no way I'm letting you cut my grass. I'm going to go out there and cut the grass myself. Am I right, babe? It's not because I'm sweet. It's not because I love her. It is a pride thing, totally pride thing. And that's how men are. We are like that. And a lot of times when it comes to the battles that we face, especially men, I know today's not Father's Day, but especially men, we want to fight our battles alone. We don't want anybody to help us. But at the end of the day, that is not how we were created to be. Even God saw the flaw in that philosophy. And God said it is not good for man to be alone. Genesis 2:18. It is not good for man to be alone. He said, we got to get this guy a helper. We got to get somebody can help this fella out because he's going to mess things up if he's all by himself. Amen, guys?
Right, come on.
Guys are like, man, I ain't amen in that. You're crazy. I'm true is what I am. It's impossible for us to live alone without losing it. As a matter of fact, Proverbs 18:1 says, the man that isolates himself rages against all sound judgment. I use that verse a lot because it is so important for us to understand. It's important for us to understand. If we isolate ourselves, if we keep ourselves away from people that can help us, away from things that are productive for us and others, then we will rage against all sound judgment. In other words, we will go crazy. Why do you think one of the worst punishments in prison is isolation? One of the worst things they can do for somebody is to put them in isolation. Why? Because they start losing it when they're all by themselves. The only person they can talk to is themselves, right? I remember when Bluetooth first started coming out and I'd see people driving in their cars talking, but you couldn't see the little earpiece. Man, it made me laugh so much. I'm like, look at that crazy person right there. Okay, that was nothing. But the point is, isolation is bad. Now, isolation is good for spurts, right? We all need isolated moments. Jesus even had moments where he got away from the crowd and even got away from his disciples and said, I need a moment alone. You folks are driving me crazy. You know, so Jesus had to go pray. He had to focus, get back into what he was supposed to do. And we need that sometimes, but if you live your life that way, it's good for a moment. It's not good for a lifestyle. Isolation will never, ever help you. And right now, if you're wondering, am I isolated? Is he preaching to me? Start thinking about how many close friends you have. Now, I'm not talking about Facebook friends, because we all know Facebook friends are not real friends. I probably got, I don't know, let's make up a number. Let's say I've got 500 Facebook friends. I don't know if I do or not. That's probably being generous. If I had 500 Facebook friends, I bet I know 80 of them. Like, I just don't know. The other day, I was looking through Facebook the other day, and I started seeing all these people. I'm like, hey, babe, who is this person? She said, I don't know who that person is. I start clicking on their name. I mean, I don't know any. We have no mutual friends whatsoever. I'm like, I don't even know how I got attached to this person. So I'm not talking about how many Facebook friends you have. We're not talking about social media here. We're talking about real friends. How many true relationships do you have that you can share everything with? Do you have somebody in your life that you could be an open book to and just talk about whatever? Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you start looking around and you start saying, I don't think I have anybody, this message is for you.
That's right. Come on.
This message is for you. We've got to have those people in our life. They're going to be open books that we can talk to. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, it tells us the benefits of together. The benefits of together. So, if you don't mind, I want to read that just a second. We don't often preach out of Ecclesiastes. Sometimes people think this is when Solomon was kind of losing his mind and started writing this. But he still said some good stuff. And so let's look at it real quick. As a matter of fact, verse 9 says, two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other one up. I mean, that's pretty solid theology right there. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. It's important for you to understand today, we need together. We need people. We need each other. Jesus said it like this in his final prayer in John chapter 17, verse 23. He says, Father, let them be one as we are one. Let them walk in unity. That was the final prayer of Christ. And that word unity there, in some translations use the word unity. That word unity there means more than just, hey, we are in agreement. It means we are one person. The two of us are one person. We think the same, we talk the same, we act the same, right? That's how close Christ wants us to be. Now start thinking, am I isolated? How many people am I that close to? How many people am I so close to that they know how I think, they know how I act, they know what I'm doing before I ever say it? Now we start really putting the nuts and bolts of this thing together, because it's important for us to see that, man, if we're not having those kind of relationships, we're in real big trouble. Real big trouble. As a matter of fact, there's in Japan right now, there's this trend, a growing trend. It's an awful trend. And they're calling it, I don't know the Japanese word. I mean, I'm sure I've read it, and there is just no way I'm going to pronounce it. But in English, it's called the lonely death. The lonely death. And what's happening in Japan right now is that they were so bought into Confucianism, and Confucianism says that the kids should always take care of the elders. Great, great philosophy. It says kids should take care of the elders. So for hundreds of years, the people in Japan, as their parents got older, they would take them into their house and they would care for them and be their caregivers. So because the Japanese government saw that was such a prevalent part of their lifestyle, the Japanese government never built enough nursing homes. So now they're to the point that older people are getting older, but the kids are now pulling away from Confucius, and so now they don't take care of their parents anymore. And there's no place for the parents to go. So what do? They live alone. The other problem in Japan is this. People are not social. They're not social. They don't interact with their neighbors. They don't interact with the people across the hall from them in their apartment building. So you got two problems. One, you got older people living alone. Two, you got anybody else not being social. Now, I know in America we're pretty social, but I think social media has confused us to think that because we've got followers on Twitter that we have friends and we are social. Because we throw a couple of thoughts on Facebook and someone likes it, that all of a sudden we've got a buddy. Let me tell you something, man. Social media is not being social.
That's right.
You need to get to know people, real humans, not phones and computers. So what's happening in Japan is called the lonely death. What's happening is people are dying in their apartments and nobody's finding them for days or weeks or even months. I read a story about a 54-year-old lady with a son who was disabled, a 4-year-old son who was disabled. They finally went into her apartment. She had been dead for 2 months. Her son had starved to death. That's an awful story. Let me tell you something. She had neighbors on either side of her. She had people all around her. Nobody knew what was happening. You know why? She was not social. It was just against her culture. Nobody was there to help her. And she just, that was what happened. It's happening all the time in Japan. Let me tell you where it's going to happen next. It'll happen here. At some point, it'll start happening here. Why? Because we've got to learn to be social people. We've got to learn to love people. The whole point of Christ being on earth, he wanted to save you, but he didn't want to just save you and then leave you alone. He wanted to save you and then put you with others. He said, they will know you're my disciples. They'll know you're a Christian, you're a follower, by how you love other people. It's not all just about loving Jesus. It's about loving people too. So we've got to get into that. We've got to figure that out. So let me give you a couple of things real quick. A couple of people you need to add to your life. Are you ready? Three people that you need to add to your life. The first person is future you. If you're taking notes today, the first person you need to add is future you. And you're thinking, Gabriel, who is future me? Future you is not worried about the problem or the past. Future you is worried about the right now. Right? Future you is worried about the solution. So here's something you need to add. If you need help in your fight, you're never meant to fight alone. You need to fight with somebody. The first thing you need to add is future you. Future you says, I see what's going on later on down the road. I can see myself victorious. The Bible says in Joel chapter 3, verse 10, it says, let the weak say, I am strong. What's happening? Present you is saying, I'm weak. I'm in a fight that I can't win. Future you is saying, hey, I'm strong, right? So he's saying, hey, let the weak say, I am strong. The first person you add is future you. You need to be positive and not negative. Stop looking at all the bad reports and start looking at what could be. Stop looking at all what is right now and start looking at what can happen later on, what God can do in your life. Last Wednesday night, I was praying for somebody in our prayer small group, and whenever we were praying, God reminded me of my son, Colt. My son, Colt's 2 years old. He's bigger than this. He's two. And Colt is so funny, but the other day he was singing a song with his mama, and what's the song about Jesus loves little children or Jesus loves me? One of those. They're the same song, basically. And in the song, it says, they are weak, but he is
strong,
right? But not Colt. Colt said, because he is all boy, he said, they are weak, but he is strong. Man, I started laughing at that kid. And then he wanted to keep saying it over and over. And Perry's like, no, let's sing a new song. So she starts singing, what's the happy song? It's not happy. You Are My Sunshine. She starts singing, You Are My Sunshine. And she says, you make me, and she'll pause, you know, to get him to sing the rest of it. And she goes, you make me, and he goes, strong. Listen, present you may be weak right now, but future you with God is strong, right? Future you is strong. You may be weak now. You may be sick now, but future you is healthy. You may be going through a problem right now, and you've got no concept of how to deal with it, but future you's got wisdom. So start adding future you now. Say, God, I see what I am right now. I see what I'm going through right now. But there comes a point where I'm going to get some wisdom. God, I am going to get healed. God, I am going to be strong. And I believe today that I can access tomorrow.
That's good.
By faith. So add future you through faith to your life. Jude 1:20, if you need it, says, build yourself up in your most holy faith. It's good for you to have somebody, but if you ain't got you, somebody else ain't going to help you. You got to have you first. The second person you need to add to your life, to your fight, to your battle is God. I know that seems obvious, but let's explore it for a second. The Bible says in Romans 8:31 that if God is for you, who can be against you? If God is for you, who can be against you? We need to add God to our life. Some of you may not be serving God today, and you may be going through a battle. You may be struggling, and you're trying to fight this battle, and you don't know how to win at all. I'm telling you today, add God to your battle. Add God to your life. I think Jim was telling me some of this stuff. I really liked it. I thought it was cool. God is for you, and Jesus is in you. When we're adding God, we add God. He's for us. He's always behind us, pushing us. He's telling us where to go. He is fighting the battle with us. But Jesus is in you. Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. In other words, when you got Christ in you, you've got hope of a victory. You've got hope of a win. You've got hope of coming out of this battle smelling good. As long as Christ is with you or in you and God is for you. Then in John 14:26, we need to add the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as our helper. John 14:26 says that He's not going to leave us, man, without giving us a helper. Remember in the book of Genesis, He says, man should not be alone. Let's give Him a helper. Yep. Then when Jesus was leaving, He said, man still shouldn't be alone. Neither should woman. Let's give Him another helper. Come on. The Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit is here to lead you and guide you and help you. The Holy Spirit, Acts 1:8 says, will give you power. Listen, you're fighting a battle today, and you need power. It's like taking a knife to a gunfight. It's not smart, right? You're going to get shot. But if you're the one with the gun, now you've got power. You need power. And the Holy Spirit provides power. And then the last one is this. In Psalm 34:7, it says that He will put angels camped around about you. So we've got God for us, Jesus in us, the Holy Spirit helping us, and we got angels all around us. How are we going to lose like that? If you're going to fight a battle, you need future you having a little bit of faith, and then you need God in the battle with you. You may be facing a big obstacle today. Maybe you're dealing with sickness. Maybe you're dealing with some family issues today. Whatever it is that you're dealing with today, I promise you, God can help you get through it. The last person you need to add is an armor bearer. So we got future you, we got God, and we've got an armor bearer. If you would, look at 1 Samuel 14. There's a great story in here. If you ever need a good story just to read, this is one of my favorite ones. 1 Samuel 14. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read just some bits and pieces of it. I'm going to leave out the stuff that's not all that important. All right, starting in, it's actually 13:23 is where it actually starts, but it says, now a detachment of Philistines had gone out to the pass of Michmash. I like Michmash. I don't know what it means in the Hebrew. I didn't look it up. It just is fun to say. Everybody say it. Say Michmash. That is fun to say, right? Okay, so they went out to the pass of Michmash. One day, Jonathan, son of Saul, said to his young armor bearer, come, let's go over to the Philistine outpost on the other side. Skip down to verse 4. It says, on each side of the pass that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistine outpost was a cliff. One was called Bozez and the other was called Senna. One cliff stood to the north toward Michmash and the other to the south toward Geba. Now let me tell you about those two cliffs. One of them, the word means thorny place. The other one means slippery. Now, I could say he was between a rock and a hard place. That would be true, too. But you think about it. I don't want to be on a slippery place with a bunch of thorns. That's a bad place to be. That is just a bad place to be. But you know what? A lot of us feel that way. A lot of us feel that way. We feel like I've got thorns on one side, and I've got a slippery slope on the other side, and I just can't get away. Every time I try and climb out of this hole, I keep sliding back down into the thorns. Every time I try and get over this issue, I keep sliding back down into the thorns. Every time I pray and every time I try and help my family or help my friends or whatever it is, this sickness that I'm dealing with, it's like I just can't ever get any traction. You ever felt that way before?
Yep.
Man, I felt that way before. Sometimes I'm like, man, God, I'm fighting a battle, and it's just a one-sided battle. I'm getting beat up. I'm getting my eyes beat out. I've got thorns stuck in me everywhere. This is not fun. I felt that way before. I've told you guys before, whenever some of you we got a lot of guests today. Some of you are new. You don't know my story. But there was a time when I was in the hospital. There was a time when they found a mass on my heart. And it was a scary time for me because I didn't know what the mass was. We didn't know if it was cancer. We didn't know if it was going to affect my heart in some way. And I felt like that. I felt like every time they'd run a test, they didn't know what it was. And it was like I'd get a little bit of victory and then I'd fall back down. And it was a scary moment. But in that battle, I had to have some people with me. I had faith to believe. I had God on my side. And then I had some armor bearers. Let's finish this story up. It says, Jonathan said to the young armor bearer, verse 6, come, let's go over to the outpost of the uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. Now, you got to remember, you got the prince, and you've got his young armor bearer about to go up against a whole Philistine outpost by themselves. This is a suicide mission. Here's what the armor bearer says. Do all that you have in mind, his armor bearer said. Go ahead. I'm with you heart and soul. I'm with you heart and soul. Man, that's the kind of people you need to add to your life. How many people do you have in your life that whenever you're going up against impossible odds, when you're between a slippery place and a bunch of thorns, when you're in a rock and a hard place, how many people are with you heart and soul? How many people say, man, you do what you got to do, I'm right there with you. I will be with you through thick and through thin. If you look over at verse 12, it says, the men of the outpost shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, come up to us and we will teach you a lesson. I like it. So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, climb up after me. The Lord has given them into the hand of Israel. The enemy says, come up here, I'm going to teach you a lesson, boy. And Jonathan says, that's our cue. We've got victory. Let's go. So they take off. Jonathan climbed up using his hands and feet with his armor bearer right behind him. The Philistines fell before Jonathan and his armor bearer, followed and killed behind him. In other words, Jonathan's going through, mowing them down from the front, and anybody comes around from the back, armor bearer's walking backwards, killing folks. They are just a two-man unstoppable army. In that first attack, Jonathan and his armor bearer killed some 20 men in an area of about half an acre. Let me tell you what we need. We need armor bearers. We need friends that say, I will be with you through thick and through thin. I will be with you heart and soul. If you're fighting a battle, I'll fight it with you. Yeah. It now becomes my battle.
Yep.
See, I think today a lot of times we do this whole, hey, pray for me, brother. Wes, just be praying for me, man. I'm dealing with some stuff. And you know what Wes says? Wes is going to say, man, I will be praying for you. And next time Wes sees me, he thinks, oh, man, I was supposed to pray for him about something. What was that? Right? And look, let's just be real. Isn't that how we are? We tell people all the time, man, I'm going to be praying for you about something, and then we never pray about it. We never do. I mean, that's just reality. My father-in-law taught me a lesson one time. He said, if anybody ever says, hey, will you be praying with me about something? He says, pray with them right then.
That's right.
Because otherwise, you will forget.
That's exactly right.
But that's the kind of friendships we got. But here's what an armor bearer does. An armor bearer says, hey, man, I need you to pray with me about something. Armor bearer says, what is it? Let's deal with it right now. Hey, man, I'm going to take this on like it's mine. I'm going to put that in my prayer journal. I'm going to be praying every day. I'm going to fast with you. When do you want to fast? Let's fast 3 days and let's see God do something. You got cancer? Man, we're going to deal with this cancer. We're going to curse this cancer. We're going to pray for this cancer. And I'm going to be praying with you all along the way. That's what an armor bearer does.
Good.
Armor bearer doesn't just say, dude, I'm going to be praying with you, man. We got this. And then forget. We need relationships in our life.
Amen.
That are heart and soul relationships.
Yep.
We need relationships like that in this church. Let me tell you, we can have the best worship service you could think of, and the church would be unhealthy if it doesn't have solid relationships.
Amen.
If you look in Luke chapter 5, I've been preaching Luke chapter 5 for like a month. I just like it. It's a good chapter of the Bible. But Luke chapter 5, I'm not going to go into every verse here, but just a couple of thoughts. There's two stories that you need to go home and read. The first story is verses 1 through, I'm marking my Bible so much I can't read it, 11. And the second story is verses 17 through 26. All right, two stories. In both of these stories, we find Jesus separating himself from the crowd at some point. In the first story, Jesus is preaching to a whole crowd of people. As he's preaching to these people, the Bible says he sees a couple of fellas in some boats. He goes over and says, hey, I'm going to get in your boat. Will you put out a little bit from the shore? Go out over here into the shallow water and let me talk to these folks. So he goes out to the shallow water and he preaches to the crowd, to the multitude. Then Jesus gets done preaching and tells the fellas on the boat, says, hey, why don't you put out into the deep water now? So then they take the boats out into the deep water. I want you to notice something. When he's talking to the crowd, he's in very shallow water. But when he gets off with the small group of people, they get into the deep water. Why didn't he take the crowd to the deep water? A, he didn't have enough boats for them. B, they probably couldn't swim out there, right? He'd be performing miracles left and right, just pulling people out of the water. It's important for you to understand, you want to go deep in your relationships with people. You want to go deep in the Word of God. Don't expect that in a big crowd. It's not going to work because too many people get left behind. Too many questions get left unanswered. You've got to go deep with smaller groups of people, a small crowd, a boat full. Get you some relationships that can go deep. I think sometimes we think because we've got a lot of friends that we've got armor bearer friends. A lot of friends doesn't mean anything. Armor bearer friends are the ones that you've got to go off and be close to. Jesus did this his whole career as a minister on earth, right? The whole time he's here, he's always got a small group of friends.
That's right.
There's times when he's got 5,000, and then the Bible says there was like 120, and then the Bible says there was times when he met with 70, and then other times he met with 12, and then other times he met with 3. See what he did? He does have the big group of Facebook friends that love him, but then he's got the 3 friends that he can talk to. He's got the 3 friends he can be honest with. He's got the 3 friends he can take off to a prayer meeting and say, look, guys, I'm hurting right now. I'm about to go die on a cross, and it's really scary, so scary that I'm sweating blood, and I need you guys here with me. Yep. Notice he didn't ask 5,000 people to show up. He asked 3 to come with him. Just 3. You need armor-bearer friends. The next thing we see in the next story is Jesus is teaching in a house. Again, we've got a big crowd of people packing this house out so that nobody can get in. And what happens? A small group of men show up. 5 dudes show up. And when they show up, one of them's crippled, he's paralyzed, and the other 4 guys are carrying him on a bed. They go up to the roof. They can't get in to see Jesus, so they go up on the roof. They dig a hole in the roof, and they lower him down to see Jesus. We always talk about you'd hate to be the guy that owned that house, right? All of a sudden, you got this big hole in your roof. Ain't nobody there to fix it for you. But Jesus, you are a carpenter, right? I mean, can you help me out here? So you got these 4 friends, and they lower their buddy down to see Jesus. He gets saved. He gets healed. Miraculous story. What's the real point of the story? The real point of the story is the 4 friends. Here's what Jesus says. Jesus didn't say, because of the crowd, I'm healing this guy. He says, because of the faith of these 4 guys. Because of these 4 guys, I'm going to heal this one guy. Let me tell you something. Whenever you're paralyzed in life, when your spirit man is paralyzed, whenever you get a bad report and it freezes you up and you don't know what to do or where to go, sometimes you don't even want to go to Jesus. You don't even want to come to church. You don't want to pray because you're so depressed and you're so hurt. That's where you need those 4 friends that say, man, I know you don't feel like doing this right now, but we're going to put you on this mat and we're going to take you to Jesus. We're going to make sure you get in his presence. We're going to make sure you get something from God.
Yeah.
Even if you don't feel like it, we'll take care of you. That happens in smaller groups, not in big crowds. It's great to have the big crowd. I love to see a big crowd. But if I don't have close relationships on a smaller level, then I'm not going to be healthy. Last illustration, and then we're gonna pray. Even Christ at the cross looks down, and everybody else leaves him. Except there's 2 people he talks to at the cross. One is his mama, and you know mama ain't never going to leave you. The other one, though, is John. You know what part of the group John was with? Was he with the 5,000? Was he with the 12? No. John was in the 3. John was in the small group that Christ had. And in his worst moment, he still had him there with him. I don't know about you, but in my worst moment, there was a lot of people that weren't there for me. But there was a small group of armor bearers that show up in your worst moment. When you feel like you've messed everything up, look, there's going to be times when you are the problem. The problem isn't cancer. The problem isn't your boss. The problem isn't Satan. The problem is you. How many people are still going to be there when you're at your worst? We need small group relationships. We need people we can open up to and talk to. I want to share this quick story with you. I would encourage you to watch the video. It's really a great, great video. And you can look it up on YouTube. I would have shown it today, except it's like 8 minutes long. There's just no way we're going to show an 8 minute long video in the middle of my sermon. But it's called The Battle at Kruger. The Battle at Kruger. Kruger spelled with a K. K-R-U-G-E-R. The Battle at Kruger is, Kruger is a national park in Africa, right? And the Battle of Kruger is about these water buffaloes. And these water buffaloes, you're watching them. These people are filming, and you're watching them from across a river, and the water buffaloes are all walking in on the other side of this river. And as they're walking up, the people filming, they look over, and it's just a bunch of amateurs. They look over, and there is a pride of lions hunkered down behind some bushes. The water buffalo can't see the lions. And so you're seeing the lions, and you see the camera goes back and forth. Lions, water buffalo. And the water buffalo finally get too close to the lions. The lions come out, and when they come out, everybody starts running. The problem is, it was this one little baby water buffalo, and it got away from the herd. And those lions pounced on that baby water buffalo. And they drugged the baby water buffalo, or tripped it up, and they all went tumbling down into the river. So you got the lions on top of the baby water buffalo trying to drown it. I mean, they're grabbing it by the head and trying to pull it into the water, and they're trying to kill this baby water buffalo. And if that wasn't bad enough, all of a sudden, you see this huge crocodile come up out of the water and grab the baby water buffalo's back leg. So now the water buffalo is being pulled from its head by the lions trying to get it back up on the shore, and then by one leg by the crocodile trying to get it down into the water. Eventually, the lions get it away from the crocodile, get it back up onto the shore, and right as they're about to eat this baby water buffalo, the camera pans over to the left. What happens? The whole herd of water buffalo come back. It's like they realized, we got somebody missing. And they come back and they surround the lions. And then you start seeing these big daddy water buffaloes come running in and hooking those lions and flipping them up into the air. And they start beating those lions back off this baby. And next thing you know, that baby stands up and runs back into the herd. It's a great video. And it's a great illustration of our life. If you've got people in your life, if you've got that small group of people that you can love and you can be open and you can be honest with, if you've got those people that you can share life with, whenever you feel like you've got a lion on one side and a crocodile on the other, you've got somebody that's going to come fight for you. You've got somebody that's going to show up in a tangible way and be there for you. We need those relationships. If we're going to be successful in life, we've got to have those relationships. Why don't you with me today? Why don't you bow your heads and close your eyes for just a minute?
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.